Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, September 17th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 6, the first paragraph, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness, and it ends with oblivion. And today's readers are 12 Steps, Susan B., 12 Traditions, Margaret N., and the readers of the text are Robin P., Julie E. B., and Leslie M. The share ID for Wednesday, yesterday, September 16th, are 15,368. That's 15368. And for this morning's Thursday morning meeting, September the 10th at 7 a.m. is 15,375. That's 15375. And our newcomer greeter is Kaylee R. And our announcements person is Robin P. Okay, so our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Susan B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves who could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Susan B. And I will now ask Margaret N. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Margaret N. in Northern California. And the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Margaret N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on in chapter 1, Bill's story, on page 6, the first paragraph, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness, and it ends with oblivion. And I'm going to ask Robin P. to get us started. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. God bless you. I so appreciate you. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. The remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. The courage to do battle was not there. My brain raced uncontrollably, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. I hardly dared cross the street, lest I collapse and be run down by an early morning truck. For it was scarcely daylight. An all-night place supplied me with a dozen glasses of ale. My rising nerves were stilled at last. A morning paper told me the market had gone to hell again. Well, so had I. The market would recover, but I wouldn't. That was a hard thought. Should I kill myself? No, not now. Then a mental fog settled down. Gin would fix that. So 2 bottles in oblivion. Oh my gosh, this is like a powerful paragraph. I think someone's unmuted if you just want to check it, your mute status. Wow, I've been there, and it's such a blessed reminder, because I really feel so passionately that, you know, words, we just get to stay humble. I get to stay humble and remember that, God forbid, I've been there, and please, Lord God, I don't want to ever be there again. You know, and begging for oblivion so that I wouldn't have to face, how did this happen again? How did I end up with my head in the bowl or how did I end up starving myself again? Or how did I end up, and feeling, by the way, that I needed to lose another 5 pounds, like whatever the insanity was, or just gaining weight, whatever it was still the illusion that I was in control of something that I was powerless over. And my life had become completely unmanageable. And all I wanted was oblivion. And today, in juxtaposition of that, you know, I'm so grateful. I work through the steps. I sponsor people. I live in 10, 11, and 12. I have a solution so that I don't have to want oblivion anymore. I want to be conscious. I want to be connected to my higher power and be of service to God and my fellows. That's the opposite of that horror story. And no matter what's going on around me, like the market or whatever it is, I get to stay connected to my higher power, who is bigger than the market, who is bigger than COVID and the fires and the, everything, just everything. And we're, you know, I'm moving to New Mexico in less than 2 weeks with God's grace and God's help and working the program and showing up for my relationships today and showing up saying goodbye to my mother for now. And just all of these blessed things that I would have eaten over. I wouldn't have had the capacity or the tools or the support to work through all of these feelings that come up and all of this newness and uncertainty and trust and faith walk. And I just keep relying on God and relying on, you know, working my program and these meetings. And thank you so much. God bless everybody so much with a blessed afternoon day. I'm so grateful for each one of you. I'm sending you the biggest hug. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Robin P., for getting us started. And before I take names, remind the group that we are on page 6, first paragraph, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness, and it ends with oblivion. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Evan R.
Barbara E.
Evan R. Barbara E.
Margaret N.
Margaret N. Anyone else? I have Evan R., Barbara E., Margaret N. If I don't get anybody, we'll go with that group for now. Okay. Evan R., you're up.
Hey, Evan R., compulsive overeater, recovered, Southern California. This is, yeah, this is, like someone said, a powerful paragraph. And my sponsor wants me to share every week, so I'm not a spectator. And, you know, it helps me really dial into the readings a little bit more. And that's what I love about this meeting. But I think here in this paragraph, I really, really related to the, you know, like I call it the post-binge, like full of guilt and shame. Just wake up, like, feeling disgusting. And I think that's kind of what Bill is going through. And I mean, I've definitely pushed the point to suicidal tendencies for sure. Maybe not just from eating, but, you know, that level of, well, we'll see later, incomprehensible demoralization. And what's crazy, I think, is the solution would be to eat more. And just never, I never understood how the solution to binging was to eat more food. Like, it's just, to me, that's completely insane. And, you know, I had the experience recently where, I mean, long story short, gained a few, like, very healthy, like, pounds, and I look at the scale, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I feel fat. Like, it's like a, and then I just, you know, fat's not a feeling, and I'm trying to work for that, and I realized I wanted to share this was, you know, turning my life over to God also includes turning my weight and my body image over to God, and I was like, oh, so that's currently my studying goal this week, so that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan R. Barbara E., followed by Margaret N.
Thank you so much. I love this meeting, and I rarely get to go on it. whether for me it's Rosh Hashanah coming up on Friday, where we make restitution, we go to synagogue and pray to be inscribed in the Book of Life for another year. It's pretty much just like we do in AA and OA and all the A's. Whether for me, whether it's the beginning of a new year or a new month or a week or day, it's tempting to make resolutions. But my resolutions never lasted more than a month, a week, or a day. To swear off, to promise, to reform, it didn't work for me. Before I stumbled into this program 23 years ago, I made so many resolutions. This diet would work for me. This psychologist would work for me. This pill would work for me. And nothing works. I gained 100 pounds plus and lost it again, and then regained it again. I was miserable, and each time my binges got longer, and I would binge for no reason at all. I was like that jaywalker walking out into the street, daring to take a chance. Maybe it wouldn't hurt me this time, or hurt me quite so badly. So do I want abstinence with peace of mind? You bet I do. But have I been able to achieve it on my own? Honestly, no. I can admit my powerlessness today, and wait for the miracle to happen. And when I came into OA, they stretched their hands out to me across the abyss and said, "Barbara E., welcome home." And I did feel that I'd found my new tribe, my peeps. And I needed this program of recovery. I needed a God that I didn't know I needed. And I found one. And he has a huge mantle to keep us all safe if we're willing to do the work. And that's what I had to do. I had to make the decision and then roll up my sleeves. Instead of resolutions, promises, and vows, I had to mark this day and every day, as I do all others, by surrendering my will and my life to God and giving up trying to handle my food, my weight, my husband's life, my son's life, and just accept today. They say the past is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. And I'm grateful for today to be with you, my fellows, in recovery. Hi. Thank you. Perfect timing for me, at least.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. And before I take Margaret in, I'll remind everybody we're on page 6 of Bill's story, the first paragraph, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness. And after Margaret, I'll be able to take some more names. Okay, good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. This is Margaret N., and I'm in Loomis, California. I've been recovered one day at a time for the past 85 days. And this paragraph is huge for me. It's the remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. I've had so many of those. So many where after just stuffing my poor body with as much flour and sugar and fat as I possibly could and waking up with having to sleep in a more upright angle just because I was overstuffed and then waking up with that horrible hungover sugar taste in my mouth. And then at the very end of the paragraph, Bill's solution was gin would fix that. Well, you know, mine was more flour and sugar with fat. That combination is just a killer for me. And so off to the races again. And it just really highlights that queer mental twist of not remembering the pain and the suffering And these days, the momentary pleasure of putting something like that in my mouth is so overwhelmed by the amount of pain that is caused as a consequence that I have no compulsion anymore. It's to turn to the food. I still have the feelings still come up, but I turn to my higher power. I turn to my fellows. I use the phone so much more. It's this paragraph, for me, really highlights the insanity of it. And just even the next to the, or the third, next to the last sentence, Jin would fix that. He's still thinking he can fix it. After all of this unrefutable evidence that he's powerless, it's really the most amazing thing how much I can lie to myself. And I'm so grateful for my divine presence and this program that widened the channel to that presence, and the honesty and the awarenesses I've had about myself and my behaviors and my thoughts and my perceptions and my beliefs that were really pretty convoluted. So I'm so grateful for this meeting every single morning and on Sundays, and every single fellow that's available for me. You know, when I'm willing to reach out, that's all it takes. When I'm willing to reach out to my divine presence and to my fellows. Thank you so much, Jatess.
Okay, thank you, Margaret Ann. And the lines are now open for those who'd like to share on page 6, the first paragraph, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness. And if you shared in the last 2 or 3 days, please let others share today. Who would like to share?
Julie E.B.
Nina.
Julie E.B. I got Nina. Nina S., I think it is.
Leia B.
Leia B.
Z.
Michelle F.
Oh, Z. Michelle F.
No, D. Leia D is in David. It's okay. You'll get it.
Oh, D, D, D. Okay. Okay. All right.
Bonnie
yep.
D.
Bonnie D.
That's me.
Got it. Gotcha, Bonnie. Michelle, I didn't get your last initial, but you can give it to me when you're on. Let's stop there. We have Julie E.B., Nina S., Leia D., Michelle, and Bonnie D. Julie E.B.
I'm getting there. Hi.
There you are.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. And you know, it's just so casual, you know, his reference to dying, it just the remorse, horror, helplessness, he's just detailing it, you know. That's the thing that really grips me about Bill's story. At first reading it, you know, I thought, well, what does this really have to do with me? But then I started to, circle and underline, well, I underlined things that I would write me next to, that I identified in with. And that was the way I was taught to go through the book. And when I got to this settle your nerves, you know, it's just, I don't know if I phrased it right, but I'm not looking at the text, but stilling my nerves, you know, at last, just underline me. Yeah, I get that. Like everything's going on and this is going to be the thing that stills my nerves. And, you know, I don't even think about the fact that it's killing me. You know, many of you know that my birthday's this month. You know, 8 years ago, I was, you know, 300 pounds, bedbound, 6 medical specialists. I was literally dying, cardiologist, pulmonologist. You know, if I had gotten COVID like I did in March, in that situation, I would literally have been dead even this year. And I'm so grateful today. And I love, you know, passing this on and reading with others and helping them to identify in. And this thought of death, well, it just almost like a casual thought. Yeah, I could do that. I could just, you know, I could just get back in the food and then go through this remorse. I thought this remorse, horror, helplessness, I thought feeling this agony would somehow, quote, make me get out of the food. But the truth is, what we learn in this program is that it's actually the care, the provision of a higher power, of something that grows either in myself or in the universe, that a caring voice in my head that actually is what changes things for Bill and then for me. It's not, there's not enough beating myself up in the world that beats me up straight. Might for a little while, but it doesn't last. So there is life. There is a life to be lived. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter which birthday I'm on. Find someone, find a sponsor, get through this book, and find recovery. If it can happen for me, and I could be several years out, I promise it can happen for you. Thanks. This is Julie.
And thank you, Julie E.B. Perfect timing. Nina S., you're up next, followed by Leah D.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you are.
All right. Nina S. from Northern California, compulsive eater. Thank you so much for what I've heard already this morning. I just felt the need that I've got to share because it's been a while and I have to suit up and show up for my recovery. Otherwise, I'm suiting up and showing up for my disease. So the things that stuck out to me in the reading were that gin would fix it and oblivion. So the sheer denial that I can put myself in, that a substance will fix my problems, is just so crazy to me. That's the insanity part. And I can live in denial. I have lived in denial about food or other substances that I've used to try to escape how I feel. So I don't want to live in oblivion anymore because I don't want that to be my life. I want to live life. But what I struggle with is I don't always want to feel all my feelings. And that's where I'm at kind of right now. I have this work to do and I keep praying that it will be easier. And instead, I find that I'm still fearful. So I know I have to keep kind of picking away at that like brick wall that I've made around it. And eventually it will come to whatever it's going to be because I don't have to be in control. And that's what this paragraph reminded me, is that I'm not in control. I'm totally powerless and I have to have God's help. Yesterday I was working with a sponsee and she was talking about her creating her higher power on her third step. And I was so relating to her about, like, I need my God to be bigger and, like, I don't need to have boundaries around it. I need it to be things that I don't know about. And I need a perspective shift. And I didn't know that I needed a perspective shift when I got into recovery. And I don't know if I need one right now, but I certainly am willing for that. And so I pray that I can forgive myself for having brick walls and maybe, you know, my goal in recovery is to expand my spiritual life because I know that I need all your all help to keep me out of my face of food and to keep me out of fear. And I can't do it by myself and I have to have a higher power. So I'm going to keep coming back so that those things are possible in my life. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Nina S. Leah D., followed by Michelle. Leah.
Hi, can I be heard, moderator?
Yes, you can.
Great, I'm driving. Hi, everyone. My name is Leah D., recovery in Brooklyn. I didn't read the whole paragraph. I don't need to because it's embedded in my brain. A couple of bottles of gin would fix it, and that would be it. And I hear that as a couple of bagels will fix it. You know, I'm in the rooms 45 years, and for 40, almost 41 of those years, I was in grape supported dieting. Yes, I lost weight. Yes, I gained weight. Yes, I tried, but I never got recovered. You know, I never got recovered. And when I hear this paragraph from Bill, I know the pain and the remorse of not being able to get it together. No matter what I wanted, I couldn't stop. no matter how pained I was the next morning, it was here again. You know, I heard someone say a while ago they got up every morning and they had a weighed and measured meal, breakfast, and then they picked up and ate the rest of the day. And the next day they had a breakfast again. And I did that for years. Every day in my mind it was going to be day one, and that was the lie I told myself. Because I never worked these steps until I started 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years in December when I crawled in. I knew it was in the big book, but I didn't know how to get it. And then finally someone put their hand out, guided me through it. And now I know the difference. Now I know what Bill went through. I never read the doctor's opinion. I never read Bill's story. I didn't need to do that. I wasn't an alcoholic. Ha ha, laugh out loud, what a lie. And today I need to remember that my husband died every 3 years in next month. In about 3 weeks, it's 3 years. And God chose to allow me to be recovered for over a year before he decided it was his time for him to leave. And I needed to be recovered in order to do that. And I'm feeling a little pain today, and I'm feeling a little sad today, but at least I'm feeling, at least I'm recovered. And I'm off to the supermarket. We're starting a big holiday this weekend. The holiday season is here again, and he's not here, and I am, and I'm recovered, and I have a daughter, and I have to stay in the moment with my higher power and not look for anything else, just to be in the moment. And that's why I'm sharing on this meeting, and that's why I'm here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Leah D. Michelle, first initial of your last name, and you're up next.
Yes, Michelle, F as in Foxtrot. Thank you for your service. I hope what I share makes sense and can encourage somebody. I got to tell you, I can be like this in abstinence. I have been trudging this road for 10 years, and it has not been a happy trudge. I struggle very much with depression and anxiety, and what has kept me, but, you know, I do believe this program can work, and sometimes that's my higher power, because I also feel like disconnection from my higher power. But the reason I'm still abstinent right now is I'm willing to go to any lengths. Every time it gets bad like this, I throw myself into the work. I pick up the steps where I left off. I'm sponsoring. I'm finishing my amends. And I'm getting ready to go through them again as soon as I finish my amends. Because there is nothing else. I've tried all the antidepressants. I have two left. I haven't tried. I've been in talk therapy since I was 21. I've had transcranial magnetic stimulation. It worked great. I survived the first 3 months of COVID quarantine because of it, but it's back. I have, you know, I have to rely on my higher powers absolutely. Every morning I go, please, God, just get me up out of bed. And I pray and pray and pray until I can get my body up out of bed. It's that bad. But I'm not eating. I'm not eating compulsively. I have it picked up. I would like to tell you that I don't have the cravings or the obsessive thoughts. I do. They're there. But I know the answer is not to pick up. The answer is to go to my higher power and use everything that I have been told to use and the steps to keep me abstinent. And, you know, recently I put down alcohol. I don't think I have a problem with alcohol. But somebody told me you need to put it down. So I did. And let me tell you, there have been times in addition to the food thought where I thought, I sure would like a drink. But I, you know, with the grace of my higher powers, have been abstinent from the food and not drinking alcohol for a month now. And I'm so grateful to still be here and to be working this program. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Michelle F. And before we go to Bonnie D., I want to remind everybody that we're in Bill's story. We're on page 6, the first paragraph, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness, and it ends with oblivion. And after Bonnie, we can take some more names. Good morning, Bonnie. Press star 1 to unmute, Bonnie. I can't hear you.
I got it. Okay, great. Thanks, Mo, so much for being there. That's such encouragement. Okay, so the remorse, horror, and hopelessness. That's pretty strong words. That's something, if I really hang out with them, I could go down myself. Because describing my food and obsessive thinking and my oblivion, I was always looking for a fix somewhere. Growing up with a problem drinker and overeater, I looked to blame them or something outside myself. This gave me a false sense of, I've got this. I blamed the person with the disease for creating the insanity in my life. And I blamed my sickness. I decided I wanted some ease and comfort. I actually decided that. I decided that food might be that. And that everyone else was having this around me, so I decided to overeat. I saw all these alcoholics going into this oblivion, and I had no oblivion. I was just working too hard. But I realized working the steps, I had wanted something to fix it and tried so many obsessions that I did trade up just a bit my obsessions. I worked the steps and the program in an obsessive way. And then I began to realize that that wasn't exactly freedom also. But I did come to forgive and make amends and be in compassion for the others, in compassion for my reaction to the addicts who I blamed. My reactions had gone way into the disease, the definition of insanity. My sponsor stresses, remember the binge that threw me into the remorse, horror, and hopelessness. Remember that last binge. But pain was the impetus for my intuitive growth. That was what was speaking to me. And I hear the pain in this particular paragraph in Bill's story before he's learned to enlarge his spiritual life. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Bonnie D. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So the lines are now open for those who'd like to share on this paragraph, page 6. First paragraph, the remorse, horror, and hopelessness.
George
E.
Debbie F.
Debbie F.
Penny C.
Penny C.
Audrey Jerry KV.
Penny C. I heard Audrey. Was that Audrey MP?
Audrey MP. Hi, Mo.
Gotcha. Hi. And then I heard Sherry KB,
yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll stop there. George E., Debbie F., Penny C., Audrey MP., and Sherry KB. All right. George, you are up first.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mo, for your service. George E., compulsive overeater near Cincinnati, Ohio. That paragraph is one of those ones I tried to glaze over, you know, the many times I've read the big book, because this is the true beginning of hopelessness. You know, you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, today's going to be different. And then, oh, I got my two bottles, I guess I'm set. Well, for me, it could be the rice pudding or, you know, whatever. I can't even go to the grocery store. You know, and that's something that's terrible to admit. And as we've learned, you know, willpower and avoidance do not a program make. No, I'm feeling pretty good today. But today's young. You know, it's not really about feelings. I so appreciated somebody mentioning the depression stuff, and maybe that's a God moment because I've been fighting the system and trying to get TMS. And maybe it's just not God's will, you know. And that's that's where I get confused. God's will, my will. You know, God didn't want Bill to be a fall-down drunk, but he'd come to this place where he'd had terrible success, and for him, it was liquid courage. This is the courage I need to keep going. You know, he very well might have committed suicide being drunk. Not that I've never subscribed to that. I needed every bite of food I had to have to get here. No, I don't. Maybe it goes along with being a grateful overeater. I don't know. Will I ever come to a point where I can say that? Was a grateful overeater. But I thank God for this program, and I thank God for having this meeting. And the irony for me personally is if it weren't for COVID, I probably wouldn't even be at this meeting. You know, that's probably the sad truth. I'm not good at reaching out. I try to make 2 calls a day. But they're not always returned, and that's okay. So thanks for letting me share, and I'm grateful to be a member of this group. Have a blessed day, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, George E., Debbie F., followed by Penny C. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you, everybody. I've been listening since COVID. It's the one good thing about the COVID that I am able to be with you all. And I thank you, Mo, and all the moderators. I just think you guys are fabulous. I've never shared before. I've been in OA 2 years and 3 months. It was on my stepper to see this wonderful OA gift of the big book with you all. I'm trying to learn to express my feelings, and I know that if I do that, I may even have my own answers, and I didn't even know I had them to expressing my emotions, and the gift of listening is a two-way street, and I love hearing you all. I pray that I will be brave enough to give up my old eating ways and be open to the new ways God in God's direction. And I know God's going to lead me to a better way of eating. In God, I have hope, and he will give me everything I need. I'm willing to let go of my old self-will and my own ways of doing things and facing my character defects and letting God take control of my life. OA. I no longer am lonely, and I have good listening friends here that I love to hear. And in all my uncertainties, I am connected to God. I know that one day at a time, and I'm never giving up. I know I am so thankful to be in this group, and you're so loving, and I'm so thankful. Pass.
Thank you, Debbie F. Penny C., followed by Audrey M.P. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. I'm Penny C. I'm recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Wow, this what we read this morning, and I keep hearing the message over and over again, the hopelessness, the horror. I'm looking back at the sentence before this paragraph that where Bill's saying, he told himself he would manage better next time, but he might as well get good and drunk. And that's what I can remember thinking, that I might as well finish the whole cake or the whole half gallon of ice cream. There's no use anyway. I felt doomed. And, you know, in the promises it says, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I don't ever want to forget what that horror and hopelessness felt like. I mean, I don't live in it day by day, but it's got to guide me to know that even after long-term abstinence that I've been gifted with, you know, if I let up my defenses and no longer have this conscious contact with God that I've attained, I can be right back there again. And I don't want to, no way do I ever want to go back I thought there was just no, absolutely no hope for me. I was doomed. I finally resigned myself that my life is just always going to be like this, that I'm just going to be eating myself, you know, sick all the time. And I'm going to be, you know, the screamer and rager and, oh, my goodness. So today, because of the steps and because of my higher power and all the people like you folks in the rooms and sponsors and sponsees, oh, gosh, do they help me. I can say that today I live happy, joyous, and free, neutral with any of the foods that I used to binge on. I don't want them. I just don't even want them. That's, you know, just give me a good, healthy piece of fruit and I'll be happy while the rest of you, you know, have the birthday cake and ice cream. That's it. That's all I need today. And my higher power will sustain me. So I'm never going to forget that time, but I'm going to be joyful in the time that I experience now. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C. And then we have Audrey MP and Sherry KB. We have 5 minutes, so if you take 2.5 each, you're good to go. Audrey MP first. Press star 1, Audrey. Can't hear you.
Oh, thank you, Mo. Thank you, Team Thursday. And thank you for everybody that's shared before me. And oh, thank God for a vision for you. It is recovery at your fingertips, right? I mean, any time of day I can go look up a meeting I missed and look up specific matters that are going on with me. And I'm thinking about the last binge. Somebody said in their share and in this, like the last binge and the last horror of hopelessness. And it really doesn't matter what it is for me, this compulsive overeater. The horror for me was, you know, one of my last binges was a box of Tic Tacs, you know, and it all went in. I didn't even know until like days later, the remorse. I was like, what did I eat? You know, it was a box of Tic Tacs and I held on to it. You know, and the beauty of vision is the willingness for everyone to take a 10 step. The magic, if you're new, if you're listening in, the magic of this program, the way that's done, I have 27 years of recovery from bulimia and OA, but this vision and this 10 step and the fellowship is just so important to me. He talks about the mental fog settled down, you know, that gin would fix it, and then to oblivion. And, you know, and I think he still talks about the fog if we keep going. And so I just want to, you know, I wanted to share, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on with my body. I have pending surgery. It's kind of a big one. I'm not looking forward to it. I need it. And I'm in a fog. I'm in a mental fog because if I don't do my work every night, if I don't sit down and do my 10 step every night, it all adds up and it can lead to, you know, more of anything, more gin, more Tic Tacs, more whole cakes, more whatever, you know, I've heard people talk about today. And sitting in the fog of even the 10th step of my own character defects is what's going to take me down, you know, and having, so I think my food sponsor said to me, wow, you were so powerless that you had to eat, and I passed.
Thank you, Audrey MP. Yes. And Sherry KB, you'll be our last chair. I give you 2.5 minutes.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Mo, and Team Thursday. You know, looking at these words, you know, remorse, horror, and hopelessness, I have a few of my own, guilt and shame, and that this is really about step zero and how bad this is. And, you know, I looked up the word calamity in the Big Book Dictionary, And it says something that causes great loss and pain, tragedy, disaster. And throughout the book, you know, it talks about impending calamity. It talks about it about four times. And then it starts talking about once we start getting in the solution, it talks about calamity can be matched with serenity. And I know that when I read these paragraphs, they're all in the I statements. God's nowhere to be found in any of this. Trying to control it myself, do it myself. You know, that's where I was at for a long time. And, you know, I heard for years that this is a step one problem, that, you know, admitting I'm powerless. I need to surrender. I need to turn my will and my life over to God. I need to let God run the show, not me. Because whenever I did, it always ended up the same way. You know, the market would recover, but I wouldn't. Should I kill myself now? You know, I was too afraid to kill myself, like somebody else said, but I wanted to die because I felt like, you know, I was a walking zombie, really. Anything that bothered me, I popped in the food, and I'd be face down in the food. And then because I would be face down in my emotions. And so now with the steps and with a higher power and really turning to that higher power a lot, even more so, during the day has made such a huge difference for me. And I am matching calamity with serenity. And that's the difference. And to me, without a higher power, without the steps, I can't do this. And, you know, it took me decades and decades to get that. And I just thank God for God. And I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry KB. That brings us to the close of this part of the meeting. So we will now close with the reading. I want to thank everybody who shared and all those who were on the line and those who gave service this Thursday morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Julie E.B. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little, but God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.